Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. It's a Thursday morning. Lakers are going to play hockey this weekend. And if you're going to be following the Lakers, you're going to have to do it on ESPN 1400 or on 99.5 Yes FM for the play-by-play. Or you're going to have to check out Flow TV. You can pay a monthly fee there and get all the Laker games on television. And that's the way it's going to be because no fans will be allowed in the building for the first, until December the 8th at least. And that's come down from the state of Michigan. So we've got to go along with that. You just completed, Damon, finals week. How are things going in the classroom? I think your guys do pretty well right there. And what a strange semester. Starts August 10th. It's over here in the month of November. We haven't even hit Thanksgiving yet. And now you got quite a break, really, from the classroom, and you'll be able to really concentrate on hockey.
Yeah, you know, very unique, very unique. And, you know, we'll have a couple finals wrap up still tomorrow. So, you know, we're almost through them, but they're still – for a handful of guys, that that workload and that mental load of preparing and writing exams. And, we've tried to stress, especially in this COVID environment, you know, you can't be up till 2-3 in the morning cramming. You have to really schedule your studies appropriately and get that proper rest and nutrition and hydration. Certainly, you know, your body is more susceptible to illness if you don't take care of it. So we really try to hit them, but we're almost through it, like you said. Our feedback, we never quite know till we actually see the grades. You know, you learn to maybe not take the word of a 20-year-old when they report their grades back to you. But, things seem to be on track. Again, we've had a good group, you know, high GPA last semester. And NCAA just came out with graduation rates for the last cohort of a couple of years back. And we were one of, I think, about 5 or 6 programs that have 100% graduation rate. So that was tremendous and a real kudos to our guys for coming through here and getting the job done on and off the ice. But yeah, academically, I think we're in a good spot. And then, like you said, you know, we get through tomorrow afternoon, and now you're a hockey player. Certainly some fatigue left over from finals for this first game or first series against Michigan Tech. But from there, we should be able to recharge quickly and, turn our attention to that short turnaround in Northern Michigan, then Ferris State, the split series, and really use that excitement to ramp up and play some great hockey.
Well, it'll be interesting. It's kind of up and down the state here for a while, but we're going to go over to Northern. That's a 3-hour drive, 4.5 down to Ferris State. Those are relatively short trips, and this is all done with a reason. I mean, this is why we're playing the way we are. We're trying to keep this as tight as we can and keep that footprint as small as it can possibly be. We got some news that's bad in one way and good in another when Alaska Anchorage announced it's not going to play this season. In fact, they're pretty much done from the looks of it with hockey at the Division I level. They weren't going to be part of the new CCHA next year, and now they've said they're not going to play this year. I think they're the only team that opted out, and it does cost us a couple of games up there, but there were so many questions about going to Alaska anyway, we probably wouldn't have been able to make the trip in the first place.
Yeah, there were still working on some quarantine issues. There's still a state mandate, I believe, that, you know, it requires a 14-day mandate. I think we could have opted out potentially because of some of the testing procedures from the NCAA and WCHA, but, they couldn't get assurance from their government to make sure games could be played. And, yeah, it's Matt Brunetel, one of our alum, is assistant coach there, so, some personal ties there. I spent a couple years coaching in Anchorage, and we hate to see it. I'm not shocked. There was more changing of conferences. I thought when this originally happened 7-8 years ago, whatever it was, that the shakeout was not done and there would be more juggling and things like that. But you hate to see a program go away. I think there's still a bit of a lifeline. They're trying to raise some money and get some support to fund it, maybe not entirely through the university. So I'm not sure they've totally given up yet, but it's horrible to see for the players there that wanted to compete, and like I said, for their whole staff, but especially Matt Brunetel, who was a great Laker. It's a really tough day for college hockey when that happens. Nobody wants to see that happen.
Well, it is tough, and you lose one of the 60 teams we had playing at this level. We're adding some teams, too, though. We're going to be bringing in St. Thomas out of Minnesota into the CCHA next week, or next season, rather, when we get to the new CCHA. But, you know, you hate to lose anybody. That costs you a couple of games, too. You were to play up there on January 8th and 9th. Are there any plans that weekend, or is that just going to be an open weekend?
You know what? We'll work on it. Had it come later in the year for us, we probably would just use it as a bye week and rest up and recover. But since it's only week two in our schedule, we would want to play. So we're working through some phone calls and some opportunities to do that. I would be surprised if we don't play somebody. So we'll continue to work on that and share information when any details get finalized.
Have we had any departures from the team that we should talk about? Is there anybody who's left the program, or is there anybody who's injured so badly right now, other than maybe Mitch Oliver, who can't play early this season?
Only if you're going to break it live. I'm not aware of any. I'm not sure. I can't think if there's anybody else that was not. So, we should be the team is intact and ready to go. Like you mentioned, Mitch, he's a couple weeks out. We hope to get him some games before the break. He's an important piece that we really miss, and, took some good strides early last year before that injury set in late in the season, and continues to kind of deal with that with some hopefully good prognosis on the horizon here. But, yeah, beyond that, I think guys are in back and ready to go. Jacob Bengtsson is one of those guys. He played a pro game back home in Sweden before, he's kind of set in NCAA. So Jacob's a guy that has to serve a game due to that in his background. And so he won't be available, along with one or two others, on Saturday, but we'll kind of keep that under wraps for now. And so there will be some changes from Saturday to Sunday as guys get ready to play and gain eligibility through different scenarios.
Yeah, we talked earlier about the goaltending has looked really good here early. And I think you've got three good ones there. Probably the best three-person tandem we've had in a long time. Ethan Langenegger, the freshman, looks really good. He's very quick. I've watched him a little bit. And Seth Isley, he's a big man. He's 6'4", 6'5", fills that net, but he's quick. He's got good reflexes. And, of course, we all know Merrick's. He's got the upper hand going into the season. He can certainly play. Goaltending should be pretty good.
Yeah, it's a real strength. And, I already talked about Merrick's earlier in the show, so I guess I'll skip in some ways. He's a pretty known commodity, and, he will come out of the gates as our number one. Seth is maybe Seth and Chase Gamblin, excuse me, are maybe the surprises of camp to me, or preseason, whatever you want to call it. They've both been outstanding. When Seth got here a year ago, he was coming off an injury that kept him off the ice in training, and so he just wasn't where he needed to be, and that prevented him from some opportunities, and then was able to redshirt. So he's been really good. He's practiced hard, done a really good job, and Ethan Langenegger has come in. We knew he was a very good goaltender, in our opinion, maybe the best goal in the BCHL last year. He's backed that up. He's been very good since he got here as well. We've been very impressed. He's probably a little bit ahead of where we thought he might be coming in, as highly touted as he was, and as much as we liked him, he's ahead of that. So, like you said, this is the best three goaltenders we've had, the best competition we've had. Merrick's will come out of the gates, but you will see those other guys most likely somewhat early on here with the way the schedule shapes up this year.
Yeah, we do have, six non-conference games here early in the month of November, December, so you got an opportunity there. And, the problem, if there is one, with having three goaltenders who are pretty competitive is you want to keep them happy, too. You want to give them some playing time, so you got to let them play.
Yeah, good problem to have, if you have those guys. Again, I've been on teams, and even our teams here, sometimes we've had just a true number three that was more of a practice player and wasn't going to get many opportunities. That is not our case this year. So, like you said, we're going to have to they're going to have to earn it, but there's going to be some opportunities early on. We've kind of laid out a tentative plan for each guy to get some looks. Again, we want to make sure Merrick's is ready, really, really facing that December 2nd game for WCHA points, that Merrick's has to be fully ready to go. But within that, there's some opportunities for both Seth and Ethan to get some looks, and they're going to have to take advantage and, put their best foot forward to maybe, get a stranglehold on that backup position behind Merrick's.
I would think on a Saturday afternoon, it's a 5 o'clock start again with Michigan Tech, because Bengtsson can't play, and he's looked really good. I think that's a kid who's going to be in the sixth defenseman who get to play quite a bit. We're liable to see Mike Manera in that game, or maybe Gervais, the young freshman who has come in this year and looks pretty good. And what about Artie Borshoff? How does he stand at this point? He's a player a lot of the people who follow Lakers closely ask me about all the time, because he's had some difficulty getting here. But he's out of Belarus, where they're having a civil war right now. It's pretty tough to move politically there. But he's over here, and I think he'll be coming in.
Yeah, great question. And like you said, Mike and Jeremy, you know, are both getting opportunities. They're both capable. You know, Mike Manera has some real highlights in practice and still looking for a little bit of consistency. And Jeremy Gervais had a great finish to his year in Salmon Arm with Ethan Langenegger. I think Jerv will be a power play guy at some point, you know, behind some upperclassmen right now. But Jerv is a real competitive kid too. So really looking forward to their opportunity and them getting off to a good start. Artie, as you mentioned, you know, got tied up with visa issues because of his home country being war-torn and having some upheaval there, and then COVID, you know, shutting down embassies around the world. So Artie has not been able to get some of his documents in order, but he, excuse me again, he will be here this upcoming weekend. You know, probably not ready to play this weekend, but won't be long till he's ready to play. And the expectation is, you know, he'll get some times, some chance early on as well, you know, to get in there and show what he can do. You know, both him and Jacob, like you said, you know, Gervais is another one, had a great year, but Jacob coming in from Waterloo, Bankston has looked really good, going to be a very, very good player for us. And, you know, Artie, same thing. You know, both those kids come from the USHL. You know, they're playing first round draft picks and, you know, kids going to Denver and Michigan and things like that. You know, they're ready to play. That league has proven over and over that you can step in and contribute as a freshman at a pretty high level, and they'll have some expectations that way to do just that.
Yeah, I was up at practice this week and observed kind of what you had in the way of line combinations with your forwards, and you know, nothing's etched in concrete at this point. You can change anything you want around, but I did see Louis Bidone playing with Pete Violette on his left and Ashton Calder on the right. That's a pretty good line right there. Potentially could score goals and play good defensively. That will probably be a line that we will see together early this season.
Yeah, a little bit hard to say. I mean, you know, one thing that I think we've all tried to do around the country as coaches is have guys prepared in a lot of different situations. You know, if you know, the way it's gone lately with a cold, and you look at, you know, Tom Izzo just came out, right? He had COVID and they didn't shut down, right? They're still practicing. He talked about Dwayne Stevens taking over and running it. Certainly Trevor Lawrence, a very high profile case that, you know, Clemson's still playing. So one thing we've tried to do in that situation, if it's an isolated case and we can keep playing, we haven't wanted to have, you know, the same line together all the time. And all of a sudden Ashton Calder's out and all of a sudden everything's thrown out of whack. So we've moved guys around quite a bit, 5-on-5 and special teams. And, you know, just want to have guys ready no matter what happens, whether it's injury, illness, you know, any type of COVID disruption where we can kind of keep things together. So, you know, those are, you know, really good players, as you mentioned. I think they might be three or four of our top returning guys behind Max Humitz, who obviously graduated. And, you know, and they're going to be key contributors and key players, but a little bit too early to say exactly who they're with or where they're playing.
Yeah, and there's nothing, it's going to switch around a lot anyway. I would think if you play your first game and you're not really that happy with how somebody performs in a certain position, you're going to change them around anyway. But you've got some good players there up the middle. This team has potential with Louis there. Louis Bidone in his second year. You got Hampus Eriksson, a senior now, and he's proven he can play at this level. Dustin Manns was really good on faceoffs last year. He's just a sophomore, but he's a strong kid physically, and he can play. And Alex Ambrosio gives you good skating up the middle. And his little guy, Tyler Williams, I haven't seen him play yet, really, other than in practice. He's quick. He's small. He's like the water bug player that you see around a lot these days in college hockey. And he could be a comer too. I mean, there's five centermen right there.
Yeah, he's done a good job, Tyler, you know, stepping in. He didn't had a great first year in the BCHL and you know, struggled a little bit last year. And so we were kind of interesting to see where he'd come in at. But he's been good. We like him. And he can play in that top six role, certainly in time. I think that's where we'll see him. Might take some time behind some guys like Pete Viette and Ashton and Louis, things like that. But, you know, we're the opposite of last year. You know, after the first couple of weeks, you know, our centers were pretty much established, two of them being Manns and Louis Bidone as freshmen. And that's a tough adjustment to come in and play that position. You know, being a young center, a freshman center in college hockey is tough. And now they're all experienced. You know, Alex Ambrosio has played a lot of hockey. We know who he is. He knows what he is. He can really help us in play. Hampus is an assistant captain, very experienced. And now Mans and Louis, as sophomores, you know what to expect, know what to play. So we really like where we start down the middle of the ice with all returning experienced guys. And that's a much better place we're starting at than a year ago where we had so much youth and inexperience.
Yeah, you look down the left side, we mentioned Pete Violette. He's proven. I mean, he was second in scoring last year to Max Humitz up front for the Lakers. We already talked a little bit about Miro Muka. He hasn't come into his own yet, but he's capable, and he's a big guy who can play off that left side. You got Benny Posa. He's looked really good early here as a freshman. And then Spencer Denbesti, the kid out of Marquette who played in the NAHL. He's another big body. And Brandon Puricelli, we haven't really talked about him. He's one of the kids who came in as a transfer, came from UMD. And he's looked good. He looks like he can play hockey on that left side too.
Yeah, Jack Jeffers is the other transfer, another left shot. Percelli is actually a right shot, so he's repped a little bit more on the right side. But you know, you mentioned a lot of those guys, and you know, college hockey, it's your upperclassmen that lead you typically, right? Like we've had great experience, great contributions from Louis Bedon as a freshman last year, Ashton called it the year before, and I think our you know, whether you count the transfers or the freshmen in there, we have guys that can do that and contribute. And I think they will. You know, mentioned a lot of them on that left side. But you know, we're going to turn to our returners to lead us and to start us off and get that opportunity. But you know, some of the new guys you mentioned, Posa and Spencer, both bring in that edge and that grit, that toughness. You know, both skate, you know, I think you know, a little bit better. They upgrade our skating from some of our depth positions over the last couple of years, so we like that part. Jack Jeffers has been another real pleasant surprise. Obviously, we, you know, grabbed him off the transfer market, like Brandon Percelli. Both those guys are legitimate players and very good. You know, Jack has played really well early on, as has Brandon. You know, Percelli came in off, you know, back-to-back national championship, Minnesota Duluth team. So, you know, if he's out there, you know, playing in that mix, he's a pretty darn good hockey player. So they both help us and make us a better team. Our forward depth, you know, I think is upgraded. Our speed, our skill, it's better than we were a year or 2 years ago. We like that. The competitiveness is really good. Certainly some question marks still on who's going to put the puck in the net consistently, but we think there's a lot of good pieces there to make that happen.
Yeah, right side, and you mentioned Purcelli. He's actually a right-handed shot. The day I was up there, he was on the left side, and Jeffers was over on the right, but that can be all switched around. You talked a little bit about Chase Gamblin, how good the local kid has looked in practice. He's a right winger. He's been playing with Ambrosio and Denbesti to this point. And then Josh Wildauer, there's a freshman who's got some ability. And who works harder than Yuki Miura? And he's on that side too. And Yuki's been playing with Erickson and Muka so far. But, you know, they all can be switched around. But I think Yuki's going to have a good year. He's a great kid.
Yeah, he did. And he got off to a great start last year. You know, we adjusted some lines after a couple months to just provide some balance. And, you know, that kept him off the score sheet a little bit more. But he's got a chance to really springboard into a strong senior year. Very reliable. We'll certainly be counting on him in any – you know, defensive situations, a great penalty killer. So Yuki's been really good for us. And, you know, different as a senior because of the language barrier, that he's not an overly vocal guy, but certainly work habits and playing the right way and competing. Yuki brings that in spades every day and looking forward to his contributions. You kind of hit Josh Wildauer right in the head. He's a Miura clone in a lot of ways in terms of his compete level, his consistency day to day. And Josh will have a real big role with us, not only, you know, this year, but in the future. He's been a very, very, you know, good player throughout his whole career. He's been a leader everywhere he's been on good teams, and I think he brings a lot of those great habits to the Lakers as well.
Okay, we've talked about the defense and the goaltending. We'll hit it a little bit here in a moment. We're going to take a break, though. We've got to hear from one of our sponsors. We really appreciate H&R Block and Parker Hardware. They make this show possible, and we'll talk a little bit about what we're going to try to do with Laker Hockey Show and that sort of thing. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.